Good afternoon, St. Louis, VGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to you. Show of hands, April Fools, fans, not fans.
Yeah, what do you think?
God, I hate it.
It's the worst.
The worst. It brings out the wheeler in all of us.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's only for those suckers that buy things when they don't look at the calendar.
Every person who pulls a prank, they all have the same laugh. It's that one. See? See?
Do you do them?
No.
Not as much. I used to, but not really.
Not as much.
Like, probably you haven't done anything, like, real for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew?
No. I'm not a prank person. I hate pranks. I hate doing them to people. I hate having them done
Why
to
would
me.
You... Did someone force you to do them?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, it's not my thing. It's why it's the number one source of consternation between sharing an office with me and my pal Wheeler here.
Yeah, I've not pranked you.
You haven't, because I laid down very firm ground
rules. He's playing
the
long con. I don't prank
Pete. Yeah, well, that's true. I might be saving it for the big one.
And you pushed back a little, but then you agreed.
Yeah, Wheels doesn't prank you if you tell him you don't like
pranks.
That's
right.
He doesn't prank me.
That's true.
I respect that.
Dave, how much have I pranked you?
I can't think of any.
The closest thing I did was put my picture in the background of your computer.
Yeah, that was troubling that you're on my computer. I think I'd rather have a shrimp in my desk.
One of my proudest days as a parent was the first time my kid pulled an April Fool's prank on me. It was awesome. She was maybe like 7, and she figured out the rubber band on the squirty thing on your sink in the kitchen, where if you tie it down and somebody turns on the sink, you get shot. The person gets shot, and yeah. I was so proud.
Did you say squirty thing instead of faucet?
No. It's like there's the hose.
The little jet hose. The gun.
Yeah,
the gun. To get into the dishes.
And she got me on that. I couldn't have been more proud. I was so happy. It was great.
Kevin's pranks are leaving random things in my bag.
Yeah, but I haven't done that in a long time either.
I'll get home and like, where'd this...
Also a little familiar, like, with my computer.
Yeah,
let me just go through your bag and see what I could leave in here.
Well, yeah. I mean...
Where'd this He-Man
figure come
from?
I didn't go through anything. I put something in there.
I remember that morning, Dave was so flabbergasted, he texted me and he was like, did you do this? Do you know who did this? And I was like, who?
Who else would do
whomever
that?
Whomever could have committed the crime of putting a bunch of pictures of him.
I mean this for real. It's because Wheeler is an innocent. He doesn't have anything on his computer to hide.
Right.
He has nothing in his backpack to hide. Not like the rest of us.
Right.
Right?
He has no secrets.
See, like sometimes when I do the bag prank thing, Amy has left stuff in one of my briefcases, but I get home and I laugh. It's funny. I like it. It's like
Amy does that?
She put something that I put in her bag in like my coat pocket one day and
Amy,
I was like,
Amy could get into your book bag.
Yeah.
You get home and it's like, oh,
Amy's
here.
What the hell?
Surprise.
Do you have any sandwiches?
A little water bottle.
Surprise. Do you have any sandwiches? Holder. I'm hungry.
Now I need you to take me back to work. My car's there.
Speaking of spouses, you took your wife to the library.
I did.
Nicely done.
She didn't know that we had such an incredible library here, like right across the street from where I worked.
Mm-hmm.
And she also didn't know that working in the city herself, even though we don't live here, she was entitled to a library card. So I got to give her the tour of everything and show her how great everything was. But when we're walking up the steps, there's this group of teens, and they all have like fake guns. They have like orange guns, but they made like realistic sounds. And they are standing atop the stairs, as if it is the film Heat, the Michael Mann movie Heat. They are like brr, brr, like shooting like passersby, and like my wife and I as we're walking up, and it's like making very troubling realistic sounds, and I'm like. I was a little surprised, frankly, that the
having done that when I was 10 in my neighborhood, shooting passing cars with my submachine gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could still do that. We can't still do that.
No. Yeah, it's probably not a thing anymore.
Yeah. And it was like, I don't know. And they weren't going like pew, 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 pew. Like the toy made.
I'm surprised you stayed.
I mean, I knew that it wasn't a real gun, so I wasn't like worried about it. But it was like. Can you stop?
When you say teen, are we talking like 13 or 19?
Maybe like 16, 15, 17.
That's a little old to be playing with toy guns like that.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. And also, like,
loser
again,
behavior, you should have called them out.
That's my point. I would be afraid I would be on the news that night, and they would say, it started as what seemed like a harmless prank, and then they pulled out the real guns. And
yeah, or somebody, you know, some concealed carry passerby got spooked and ripped it out. Because they were making the realistic sounds as they were, like, you know, pulling the trigger at every
How long did it take the cops to get there?
I didn't call the cops. I kind of thought the library would want to do something, but I don't know if they knew it was happening or what. I didn't say anything when I got in there because I'm not a snitch, you know?
Were they there when you left?
No, they had moved. They were in the library by then.
Oh, no, they were in the library.
Yeah, they made their way in, but they didn't have the gun brandished, so I don't know if they, like, stashed it or whatever.
Jeez.
Because it was probably plastic, so they were probably able to get through the, you know, detectors or whatever.
So, sticking with you, since we're already with you, spider update?
Man, okay, so we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week. But I started driving my
really
old
five
car.
4 hour shows didn't get a chance.
Well, because this just happened on Thursday night, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it Friday. And so I'm driving home, and I'm in my new old car. Right, I'm in my old car from years ago that I haven't driven in several years because I've been driving my.
So this is
car.
Not the trash car.
This is the original trash car.
What did I look through?
You looked through the new quote unquote new trash car.
Oh. So your wife's car was not a trash car.
It was a trash car, but it was the lady trash car. It was a trash car for ladies.
Okay.
It was Mrs. Trash Car.
Okay.
And then that became also my trash car when I started driving it. And then the original trash car is actually not a trash car anymore. It's clean.
How many cars do you people have?
Two.
Oh.
So you got to keep your trash somewhere.
The original trash car that had Ned Stark in the sombrero. That's the old one.
That's the old one, but they migrated to the new one.
So you actually took the time to move your Ned Stark action figure and the sombrero.
So they had to move the trash out of the old one when we were letting it sit.
You moved the trash from one car to another.
I did. Yeah, that's correct. Years ago. Many years ago.
Andrew.
Many moons ago. I couldn't get rid of it. I needed it.
Okay.
I had to have it. But as you guys will recall, that car in particular had a nasty spider problem. And I forgot about the spider problem.
Where's the old car been this whole time?
It's been sitting out in front of my car, getting just the hell beat out of it. People keep running into it. It's covered in
dents. Wait, in front of your car or in front of your house?
In front of my house.
Oh, okay.
It's been parked in front of my house.
And people just don't stop?
And people have just been slamming into it.
Were there spiders in the other trash car, too? It seemed like there were spiders in the trash car you were currently using.
There has been. I've seen one spider in the new trash car, but the old one was the one where they had the big giant, the orb weavers.
Okay.
The big giant, like this big spiders that are all over.
Well, I'm sure the
car.
Spider problem got better, leaving the...
He turned it over to the spiders.
Yeah.
I actually forgot about the spiders in that car until I was driving it, and I noticed that there was one in my hair. And I almost crashed driving home on Thursday. That was horrific. And then it happened again. It happened again yesterday. There was another spider in my hair.
Hmm.
Two spiders in 4 days.
You know,
if you die in a single car accident, we're all going to know what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you
spider
will know.
In my hair.
There was a spider.
They're trying to control you like Ratatouille.
Yeah. And it's working, I think.
It's like Joe's apartment.
They're like, is this guy reading as he drives? Someone take the wheel.
Yeah. We don't all want to die here.
Hey.
I had to go, I had to go inside and shake my hair out and stuff. I was terrified there were spiders in there.
Andrew, yes. When is the last time that you've pulled something out of the trash that you've needed?
That's a great question.
No, I needed something the other day.
What?
There was like a hat or something in there.
Okay.
Like a hat?
So hats won't
like
work.
Like a hat or something.
I don't remember if it was like a hat or what it was, but I needed it.
But out
of
the boxes and bottles and stuff.
Well, I don't need the boxes and bottles.
How many times per every 6 months, how often do you pull something out of the trash you need?
Look, it's good to have gloves in there in case you need the gloves for something. It's good to have a blanket in there in case you need the recycle bin to store everything in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard.
You have a fly swatter in there?
I don't have a fly swatter.
You're
going
to need to add that.
Should we
to
just
the
do
clutch?
The intervention now? Yeah.
Why don't you just.
You just set up the most fallacious argument of all time. So it's good to have gloves and a blanket. Uh-huh. Well, you went, there you go.
Why don't you just have the gloves and the blanket?
That's why we call it the trash car, but the gloves and the blanket.
I got a blanket and I got gloves in my car, too.
Everyone does.
But the majority of it is stuff like that.
No,
a lot
true.
Of it's boxes and bottles.
And there's a Foxtrot comic strip book in case I need to read something, in case I break down. And I get bored and I need to read.
Mm-hmm. Plus the spiders need something to leave through.
And the spiders need something. They're literate now.
Yeah, they have a rudimentary language.
Plus, we got to make sure the mice have something to eat.
They have a religion based on Foxtrot.
Yeah. Hey, Foxtrot and Ned Stark.
What universe of Spider-Man is this where he's like driving in his trash car and the spider bites him and gives him powers?
Foxtrot gave his only son, Ned Stark.
I would feel so represented if I saw that Spider-Man in a comic book. I would feel
Spider-Man? Your version?
Yeah.
It like wasn't he, in like the
Peter's,
lab.
Like Peter's driving in a car and he gets bit by a spider.
It was in his hair.
Bit by an orb weaver.
Yeah, that was in his hair.
Well, I'm feeling better about my car.
But the orb weavers don't bite,
You should feel better about
don't.
A lot of things.
Yeah, orb weavers are safe.
No, they are.
I just don't like seeing them because they're so big. And when you see them on like your rearview mirror or whatever, it really drives home the size of these things.
Man, it's almost, it's too bad there's not a solution.
That's too bad.
I mean, you're stuck.
It's a conundrum.
What can you do?
I actually don't know how to get spiders out of the car.
Would you even want to use that blanket?
Vacuum cleaner.
Think about it. You said you got that blanket in the car.
I don't want to use it, but if I have to use it.
You'd know there's spiders in it.
I'm not using it for fun. I'm not like using it because I get cold while I drive or whatever. It's for an emergency, Chris.
All right.
Well, I mean, it's the emergency spider blanket now because there's probably baby spiders in there.
No, because the big spider problem is in the original trash car, which is currently clean except for the spiders.
We're getting our trash cars mixed up, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. When's the intervention, guys?
How many cars hit it?
At least like seven. This thing is beat up.
121 DGS on KMOX. We have Chris Ranji here with us. Let's talk a little sports. So, overall, boys, the first three games.
Kevin, you want to start?
Not great. Not great. Now, again, not great with the caveat that we knew the Dodgers were better than the Cardinals.
Yes.
They are the best team in baseball or the second best team. It's them and the Braves. Nobody else is as good as either of those two teams.
Can I give an analogy?
Yes.
We have all seen regular season hockey and we've all seen playoff hockey.
Right.
It felt like the Dodgers were playing playoff hockey and we were playing regular season hockey.
Yeah. They're just that much better. I mean, their lineup is better. The first three pitchers you saw were all studs.
Studs.
I mean, Glasnow's one of the 10 most talented pitchers on the planet. Bobby Miller may not be far off of that.
I'll take Miller.
I mean, he's throwing 100 at the top of the zone, 91-mile-an-hour changeup at the bottom, and a slider that nobody handles. And you know, like, he's young, so he's not established like the other guys. And then the third guy is just a $300 million free agent signee from the offseason, Yamamoto, who's throwing mid-90s with a 92-mile-an-hour split that you can't even see coming.
And he's the guy we beat.
No. Well, they won that game. Yeah, they didn't beat him. He had five shutout innings. But once they went to the pen, the Cardinals beat up on the relievers there. So you face three guys like that. And then the crazy thing, and this is the part that's frustrating, I think, for fans. You had the chance to win yesterday.
Yes.
And the bullpen blew it, in part because you didn't get enough innings from starters earlier in the series because all those bullpen guys got used. There were a bunch of guys that were not available, like Gallegos wasn't available yesterday. Jojo Romero was not available yesterday. Those are the guys you're going to be using in those spots leading up to the ninth inning. And the guys that filled in blew it and gave up
and
the lead.
It's not the same thing because it's not even all the same people, but it certainly felt like the same thing.
That's why people are frustrated.
Right. Because I know that they like to flip the page and say, hey, new year, it's 2024, forget about last year. But I don't think you can, because if you have a lot of the same guys and you're seeing some of the same stuff, why wouldn't you think, well, this is just how it's going to be?
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of data to go back and look at. What you're talking about with the bullpen is one of the micro problems, potentially.
Yep.
The strikeouts, that could be a micro problem because they struck out a ton in the series. Offensively. But I think there's a more macro issue with me, and that is, you said the Dodgers are just better.
Yep.
And I agree, they're just better. And I don't feel like we're looking at the problem the right way. They seem to want to make the team just good enough to win the division. And I wish it would be approached in more of a, well, not how do we get better than everybody in the division, but how do we get closer to the Braves? How do we get closer to what the Dodgers are? How do we get closer to Philadelphia, to teams like that? I kind of wish that was the roadmap instead of, hey, win the division, we'll see what happens, anything can happen.
Yeah, again, I don't know the X's and O's like you guys, but I watched the Phillies versus who?
Braves.
Braves. Different sport. It's like they're playing a different sport at a different level.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, like, You have the 12th highest, 12th, 11th, 12th highest payroll in the sport. So you're spending money. So why are you different?
A little better than average.
Yeah. I mean, like, well, it's, yeah. I mean, you're in the upper third, close to it, not quite, just under the, you know, top end of the middle third, which is about what your revenue matchup says. Like, if you match where they rank revenue-wise, it's about the same area, like in baseball.
Let me say something stupid. I have a bit to do that is basically, have we in America counted too much on magic? The Constitution's magic. The Founding Fathers are magic. And then, like the Mike Tyson quote, we got punched in the mouth. Yep. Now our plan doesn't look so great.
Yep.
Is there something to be said about that? That the DeWitts, the Augie Bushes of the world, whoever it is, they build a good team, not a great team, win the division, maybe catch a flyer, maybe get farther in the playoffs because they're counting on some sort of magic?
I don't think so.
Not literally, but you know what I'm saying.
My biggest complaint, and I think it's similar to where you're going, but I don't think they're banking on magic. I think the problem is they still believe in the old way they did things. They didn't want to change for a long time because what they did worked for almost 20 years. They were winning divisions. They won two World Series.
Would you sum up what they were doing?
They are behind on technology. They are behind on strategy and teaching process for pitchers. That's the story. They have not developed the young stud pitchers in the last 5 or 6 years. Guys that throw hard, that miss bats, that everybody else is. They don't have a Bobby Miller. They don't have those guys. And they used to. When they were really good, that would be Carlos Martinez when he showed up. And we know he bombed out, but for 3 years, he was awesome. Mm-hmm. And Michael Wacha was awesome for 2 or 3 years before he got hurt. And before that, it was Lance Lynn. Every year, there was another guy that was like that, that was young and talented and could come in and make the team better, and they're not doing that anymore.
I know it's not a make or break, but I think it illustrates what you're talking about. I don't know jack crap about how to hone a pitcher. We should have honed Hicks.
Yeah, I mean, I've always wondered the same thing. I mean, why is a guy who throws 105 throwing sinkers?
Yes.
Yeah.
He should be throwing four-seam fastballs up in the zone.
I can't wait to see what that is.
In addition to the other things.
Months.
Yeah, and some of that is player buy-in too. If a player doesn't want to change, you're not going to make them change. So, but what we can say is organizationally, the Cardinals don't have the structure in place that other teams do that make their pitchers better when it comes to throwing harder, maximizing the effectiveness of their breaking pitches and all that. And I can look at a team like Detroit. This is a fair comparable because Detroit and St. Louis, Detroit's a little bit bigger market, but they're similar revenue teams.
So highlights?
For?
Over the weekend?
This problem, and there were a couple of things, like Paul Goldschmidt's fine. That's a good news because he was terrible in the spring. I thought that Matz threw well until he ran out of pitches because he was on a pitch count, but you get into this part where
Scott and Wynn looked amazing in the field.
You know, they were good, especially considering what they faced. Can you imagine you're Victor Scott, you're making your major league debut, your first three games, and you're going Glasnow, Miller, and Yamamoto?
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably not going to hit very well. That's a tough wake-up call. Same thing for Mason Wynn. So I don't know. I think Nolan Arenado looks lost, looks weird.
Something's weird with him. Yeah,
looks. I mean, maybe just the first weekend he's not good to go, but there are a couple things in that way that are a little bit weird.
I hope he's feeling right physically.
That's the biggest worry if he's not. Yeah, but he was in the spring, so hopefully that gets sorted.
135 DGS. So I sort of did a little preview of that thought I had about the United States. What do you think about that? I mean, I was raised, born in 64, raised in the 70s and the 80s, and Pledge of Allegiance, and everyone wants to be us, everyone wants to be John Wayne, everyone's afraid of us, we're the greatest, no one could ever take us, and to some extent, it had to be salesmanship. To some extent, it had to be puffery. I do think we are the most intelligently set up country in the world. I do think that we are the freest country in the world. We're clearly not the happiest. We're clearly not the greatest in every measure, unless we're the ones measuring it, and that doesn't do much good. That's just, you know, looking in the mirror and telling yourself that you're pretty. And I think that Mike Tyson, everyone has a plan to get punched in the mouth. We got punched in the mouth. to me, it's mostly a Trump thing, but you can take Trump out of it. I mean, the last 20 years have been different than the previous 200 years, and we're really struggling with the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Mike Johnsons, and let's throw him out again, and maybe Hakeem Jeffries will be... It just feels like, and I used this analogy last week, but it feels right, when your parents go on a trip for the weekend and you as a teenager are left at home alone and your friends come over and you trash the place. That's what it feels like is going on right now. Thoughts?
Well, it obviously didn't. You're right. It did not used to be this way, but there used to be, I think, for people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, there used to be repercussions for acting like an idiot. And the repercussions were people dismissed you and they said, okay, that's enough of that. And they didn't take you seriously and you didn't get spots on the news or on a network to talk about your nonsense every week. People would just dismiss you and they would move on to the next person who didn't talk like a crazy person. There aren't those repercussions anymore. You can say the most ridiculous thing and a lot of times do the most ridiculous thing. And it's, well, I've pushed it this far. Let's see how far I can go the next time. And they're constantly being rewarded for it. So I don't know where the repercussions come in. I don't know if we can go back to that where you actually suffered consequences for acting like a fool.
You know what? The consequences you're talking about, I think, are media consequences, because if something happened within your caucus and they took an assignment away from you or they gave you a dressing down or a talking to, we wouldn't hear about that and we wouldn't care about that.
Right.
I think the consequences that you're alluding to are that the mainstream media, back when they really were the mainstream media, when it was the Cronkites and the Brokaws and the White House reporters with gravitas and people like that, I'm sure that there were something like a Marjorie Taylor Greene, probably just a goofy person, not like a completely insane person. But you're right that they weren't going to give them any time.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking for the Liebermans and they were looking for the Romneys and they were looking for the real people. Now they're not. Now they're passing up the Romneys and looking for the crazies because they're trying. It's our journalism has gone in about 25 years from you have to have 3 independent sources. If not, you sit on it. If the New York Times thinks they have 3 before us, they can run with it. They can have the one. They'll be the one to the egg on the face. We've gone from that, from the time Rachel was in grade school, to clickbait. We're total. The New York Times is clickbait. NBC is clickbait. We don't care anymore about standards.
See, I still think the main journalists do that work, even though people will disagree and think that it's all gone to bunk. I don't. I think there are a lot of really great journalists doing good journalism. But the problem is there are mainstream networks that don't care about that. So you can say whatever you want and you're going to get you can say the most ridiculous thing. And the following week, they're going to book you again. And that happens, but also the party themselves are not shutting these people down. The Republican Party has not shut down Marjorie Taylor Greene. If they tried, it's been ineffective. You know, there's been no closed door Mike Johnson setting her aside and saying, hey, listen, you know, you need to get in line here, or the elders in the party doing the same thing. That doesn't happen. If it does, I don't know about it. And if it does, it's not working.
So on the Democrat side, it seems to me before, like, and I hate to just keep saying Marjorie Taylor Greene, but she's a great example, but she's only an example. There are many like her. Before her, my fuzzy memory, because now we're talking about COVID and pre-COVID, is that the Republicans were boring and dull and super, super blue. And the Democrats had like AOC and those kinds of people. And they were the crazies. Like, oh, my God, she's got to be like 28 years old. And she used to be a bartender. And look at her dancing when she's in college. It seems to me like that has flipped. And what it tells me is that the Democrats, whether it's Pelosi or Hakeem Jeffries or whatever, have noticed the same thing and have kept a better lid on their extremists.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, I think there's 3 major problems with the whole thing. Okay, one is Dave, your point about magical thinking is dead on. There are too many people that are more about what they believe than what they can prove. We need to be more evidence-based when we're talking Amen. Politics. Belief is perfectly fine.
In everything.
Yeah, belief.
We do it in everything
yeah.
else.
And look, if your core of your religious values is belief, that's fine. Politics and religion should not be treated the same way. They are different things that require different mindsets and different approaches. You cannot treat politics and policy and issues with belief. You have to treat it with things you can measure, with things that you can understand and things you can get into. We combine that with now more than 30 years. I'm not picking one side or the other. I'm picking political talk radio, left or right, have been selling anger for more than 30 years. Anger is what's driving so many of the things that are going on. And when you sell nothing but anger and people are listening to it every day, well, then they're going to continue to build over time. And then you throw on top of all of that, you're talking about the news media. There was a time when the news was considered a public service. It was considered something that these broadcast companies did as a service to the United States of America and to the people. We're going to inform you. We're going to tell you what's going on. The moment that we started deregulating cross-media ownership, the moment that we allowed basically five companies to take over, the moment news became about profit, we were doomed to this. Because it's not a public service anymore. Now it's a product that they're selling us. So they're just going to give us what we show them we will watch.
Well, okay, I get everything you guys are saying, but it does sound like a lot of, like, this is the way it should be. And while I might agree with you, don't you agree that the game has just completely changed and it's kind of time to leave that thinking in the rearview mirror? I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene is not going to go away. The reason why they can't get her in line is because she has the internet. So anything that they say to her, she can just go on Twitter and be like, guess what the deep state is telling me? And everyone's just going to go along with that.
Some of it, yes. We're not going to go dig Walter Cronkite up. But when it comes to the way you approach things and the way you are evidence-based, not faith-based, outside of faith.
When it comes to, like, politics,
that,
right.
That is not something to give up on. I feel like I am outside of politics, and I feel like I am outside of religion because I don't have a dedicated party who I support anymore, and I do not have a religion that I adhere to anymore. However, I'm not an atheist on either one. I'm not a nihilist. I'm not looking to tear the system down. And when it comes to religion, I am open. I'm just not a believer. In my humble opinion, from the bleachers, watching all of you on the field, you're ruining both. You're ruining both. You're making both politics and religion look so unattractive. Like the whole Christian national thing, you may not realize it because you're so deep into it and it's so important to you. You're making it all look so unattractive and unappetizing. Why would I want to be that? Why would I want to hang out with you? Why would I want to be what you are, the way you are portraying it, where it's so angry and there's so much vitriol and it's who you want to keep out and it's who you want to keep down and it's who you don't want to this. Like yesterday, there's a big thing about how it was, help me out here, Rates, Transgender Visibility Day.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden, that bastard, put it on Easter morning, the day that Christ rose. No, he didn't. 9 years ago or more than that, they made it March 31st, and it happened to coincide with this Easter because Easter's on a different,
it's on a different day,
a different
every
day.
Year. Right.
Now, should he have played it up? I don't know. That's a different story. What I am saying is, in my opinion, which is worth exactly whatever you give it and nothing more, but as an outsider to both of these, it seems that they're both being diminished.
Yeah. And
so whatever you're trying to do, if you're trying to make it seem unappealing to anyone who's not already in it, well, then you've done a good job.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that's what you're trying to do, having been in both of those things, having been very active in politics, having been very active in Christianity. All these years later, I look at it and I go, I think they both got worse.
You know, and there's an interesting point in that is that I don't know if it's over completely, because Rach makes a good point about the circumstances being different. But it doesn't seem like anybody in the political world that's really hardcore. I'm not talking about just people who participate. I'm just talking about the hardcore, like, I'm in this stuff every day. It doesn't seem like anybody's recruiting. They just want to defeat the enemy. They're not asking for anybody to join them. They just want to beat who they think is their enemy. Whoever that is different for every group. And
well, I mean, Donald Trump's now, he's lightening up a little bit on the Nikki Haley stuff, but he basically said, we don't need you. We have plenty of people. We don't need you.
Yeah. I mean, and the minute we've become convinced that your enemy is within, you've empowered our enemies from without. Because now we're susceptible to all kinds of disinformation, all kinds of stuff that Russia wants to put out there, that China wants to put out there. They are not stupid enough to just directly attack us because they know we'll do it to ourselves if we just keep doing what we're doing.
It's the cheapest way for them to do it, too.
Mm-hmm. By the way, right? You guys can always jump in if you think something we're saying is complete crap. Give us a phone call, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Don't have a great deal of time here, but you guys obviously saw the thing where Donald Trump retweeted, whatever it's called, the back of that truck that had an image on the tailgate of Joe Biden all hogtied. You see that?
Oh, no, I did not see that.
So on the back of this guy's giant Trump truck, the back tail gate looks like Joe Biden is in the back of his truck and he's bound and gagged. And Donald Trump retweeted that and everyone lost their mind. Now, I don't think it's cool. I don't think it's where we want to be. It's not the way I like to live life or do politics. But I thought maybe they protested a little much. Am I wrong?
I don't know. It's not the same exact thing. But remember how they lost their minds over the Kathy Griffin thing, which that was a little more violent, a lot more violent because she had his head and it was
dripping,
severed
yeah.
and yeah, dripping with blood, but it's still violence. I mean, it's not, it's, I think you can't be good with one and not be good with the other.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have
fair.
A problem with one, you gotta have a problem with both if you're being fair.
Yeah.
It's certainly unbecoming of a former president to retweet that of the current president, but it's also the standards have lowered so much that I am not surprised that it didn't bother you much. You know, I mean, this isn't the first time something like this has happened, so you just kind of unfortunately get used to it after a while, too.
Yeah, maybe that's why. You're just like, yeah, it seems right.
Yeah, it's not shocking
anymore. Because if it were 10 years ago, that would have been, I think, more of a big deal.
Could you have done that to Obama?
No.
Yeah, I agree.
Shouldn't do it to anybody, right. But it's certainly not.
I mean, I don't care what political side is doing it, whether it's the Kathy Griffin, Donald Trump head or this kind of thing. We're idiot children. When do we stop acting like idiot children? It's dumb. Your political adversary is not your enemy. They are not trying to end your way of life or your country. They are not, no matter how many times people tell you that.
But boy, right there, I felt how many people in the audience said you're wrong.
I know, because people have been telling everyone for 30 years, they're trying to ruin the country, or this will be the last election if this guy... The more we allow that, and we have presidential candidates saying those things, Donald Trump and Joe Biden are saying those kind of things, because we eat it up. We got to stop, man. That is not the reality.